Are trad wives a threat to everything that feminism has built up over the last 100 years? Is this the beacon and herald of the destruction of Western civilization as we know it? Or is this just a return to normalcy? Let's talk about that as we watch our culture stray further every day. Hi, my name is Jonathan Fiala on behalf of Further Every Day, your host sitting in the producer's chair with Ray Rod, the producer guy, and I'm joined by a full house. We got Miss Nikki in the chair of theology.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Yourself?
I'm doing good.
Glad to have you there. And Clint?
I'm doing good, looking like a blueberry.
Yes, sir. You look like Madam Blueberry. We had that discussion offline that he kind of looks like Madam Blueberry. Tell us in the comments down below if you think he looks like Madam Blueberry. And then in the chair of philosophy. And then in the chair of culture, we've got Melissa.
Hey.
Glad to have you there. In the chair of culture, how you doing?
Man. How you doing over there, girl? She's dying. I don't think she's going to be able to make it.
Okay. I'm going to take that as fine.
Start me with the giggles and it's done.
It's done. It's over. Mr. Steve?
Yes, sir.
In the chair of politics, I see.
Yes, sir. I'm sitting here. I'm going to stomp up and down this road a little bit, be politically incorrect a few times.
Yes, sir. Expect no less.
Yes.
All right. So let's kind of set the groundwork here. What is a trad wife? And why do we, as Christians, potentially not want to use that term? And why is that important? Because I think it's interesting how Christians sometimes latch on to cultural phenomenon, and we kind of hook onto it, and we walk away with it. But before we do, I want to go ahead and go and look at this young lady. She's actually probably the predominant, figurehead. For lack of a better word, I mean, it's not a movement. She's just a person who people look to, and they say that this is the quote-unquote trad wife movement. And I really don't know what to make of it. I think she's just a girl doing this. But let's go ahead and have a look. I'm going to go ahead and play that. You might want your headphones. Actually, I want everyone to react to this. You may or may not need your headphones for this one. But she says, in a world of boss babes, I've decided to not be that. What the Bible says about homemakers, she has this written out that, for those of you who are listening online, this is a pretty lady in a 1950s outfit. They can urge the younger woman to love their husbands and children, to be controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. Titus 2:4-5. She has that little thing up there while she's looking into the camera, looking kind of like Madeline Monroe, or well, who's the other person?
June Cleaver.
So, I mean, I don't know. What do y'all think about this? Just your gut reaction.
It's all a show.
Maybe.
50s style type kind of thing, you know?
But the day in the life of, for some reason, I don't understand that. I don't have time to watch a day in someone else's life. I'm too busy living mine.
Why do we care? I'm like, if she wants to live that, let her live it. I mean, I don't have to, all these people, even on the liberal side that are like posting a day in life of a trans person or whatever, I'm like, I don't care.
I mean, I agree. I find and some of it boils down to narcissism, doesn't it?
Because you're getting media attention, you're getting the social media likes, and so now you're that influencer. So it's all about a me.
I mean, good for her. I mean, she is hustling. She's making, she's got brand deals, I assume. I assume she's, doing well. And hey, who wouldn't want to marry someone that looks like that as a guy? I mean, as a red-blooded guy. Assuming that she's a nice person.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. I lived down up the street from a young lady that got up before her husband did and went to bed after him. She never wanted him to see her without makeup.
Ugh.
It didn't last. The marriage didn't last. But she was just kind of that type of person that she thought she had to be this. And she was a beautiful young woman. She was beautiful. But to please him, that's what she felt she had to do. But after a while, you just can't live like that.
And so I think it's interesting to hear her talk real quick. I just want to catch her because she says something about this not being a movement, et cetera. I think it's worth listening to. See if we can skim through here.
Can't hear anything.
Y'all can't hear anything.
No.
Let's try that real quick. One second. Make sure that you guys can hear. Okay. And you should be able to hear now.
Them and using them on your skin, it's extremely bad for you. I definitely suggest looking up homemade household cleaners
this
and
how to make she does.
Them yourself, and that will definitely help your family and you. My third one is seasonal decorating. Now, this one is the fun one because you get to get into these cool little crafts on each holiday. My favorite is Halloween. That's why I love horror books. And you get to really just get into each holiday and you get to do these little DIY projects that you find on Pinterest or wherever. And yes, you can go buy these wreaths and stuff, or you can make them yourself and make them fun and make them crazy and personal too. And fourth is hosting. Hosting is a great way to showcase your seasonal decor and honestly welcome your friends and family into your lovely home. But hosting has many skills such as serving, proper etiquette. And of course, picking and choosing a couple options to go to a salon like your.
So anyway, she goes into beauty routine, et cetera. And so I don't know.
That stuff has a place. I mean, there are young women who, I mean, that's something that she's giving little tips here and there, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you're a person that wants to decorate your house and you're not talented, you're going to get online and find somebody who is to give you ideas. If, you know, these are little tips that you can learn from, then you should learn from them. And she has no reason not to give them.
I totally agree. And I want to go in just a moment to some of the reactions to that, but I want to get Melissa's thoughts because I know that I smell smoke when she was talking about going on Pinterest and hosting. I smell smoke over there.
And maybe it's because that's not my forte and calling in life. I don't go on Pinterest. I've never been on Pinterest. I don't have any skills in decorating or want to decorate. It's just not my deal at all. But at the same time, I don't want somebody, because that's not who I am, to be like, well, because you're not like this, then that doesn't make you or will not make you a traditional wife, because you're not decorating, because you're not hosting, you're doing all this kind of stuff. I don't want to feel like she's kind of downplaying my role as whatever wife I'm going to be because I don't follow her.
So I don't think she's necessarily doing that, but that is an interesting reaction. Steve?
I think that it seems like she's given information out to women who want to say maybe basically just follow along in her lifestyle and what it is that she's doing. And, you know, it's like, you know, we were talking off camera earlier that, like Melissa said, if you don't want to watch it, don't watch it. You know, turn it to something else. Watch whatever you want. I mean, you know, watch, you know, elephants playing in the water, cats, you know, tearing up somebody's blinds or something. I mean, something stupider. I mean, there's all kinds of stupid things on the internet to watch.
Well, let's take a trope from the left here. If you don't want trad wife content, don't get one. Or abortion. You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
I set it off mics, don't worry.
So, okay, so I want to go ahead and look at the reaction from people on the left, people who are saying that this is somehow damaging to women. So this is a headphones moment. Let's go ahead and play it. This. Her sister is a right-wing strategic, she's director of communications for Religiani at one point. They're prominent right-wing media organizations. Therefore, she's a Republican shill. So I believe that Este knows the value of outrage farming. This is just grifting, or she's sending a covert political message. Mainstream feminism supports that women have their lives, but, you know, trad wives and stay-at-home wives are not the same. Trad wives are part of a right-wing movement meant to take away rights from others. I really missed Esther saying that in her little bit. And if you go watch your content, you're never going to hear her talking about taking away, you know, black people's right to vote or something random like that.
They're like the biggest hypocrites.
Confused.
Because you can, they're saying that you can't have a right wing person saying this is my life as a trad wife, but they're perfectly okay with saying, I mean, bring up Dylan Mulvaney again, like we always do. I'm like, they're okay with him saying this is my day in the life of whatever. So like, how can you have, they can be okay with what they're doing and not what somebody else is doing without being an absolute hypocrite?
Yeah, well, and again, hypocrisy, I really, everyone's a hypocrite. The problem is they don't believe it. They don't believe that it's that much of an outrage because they want to enforce on you that you have to kiss the ring of the woke agenda. You have to say, excuse me, ma'am, when the guy is clearly just a dude with a muumuu, something swinging, you know, below and a beard. Oh, like you have to say, what I'm sorry. What
and chest hair sticking out the top of his shirt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. From his bosom through the push-up, okay? I'm just saying, they're saying you have to say that. You are compelled. And that's the whole thing with Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson came along and he said, hey, look, you know, if I'm going to sit down with dinner with someone, I'm not going to, you know, if they want to be called she, her, I don't care. You just can't compel me as the Canadian government to say things. Once you do that, then it's a really bad day. Whereas conservatives, we say, look, there's a moral standard, but God gave you free will. He didn't give you free will to, he didn't give you choice over your consequences. And we want to warn you about the consequences of that. There are dire consequences for not obeying his law and things fall apart. And by the way, he didn't make stupid rules, but knock yourself out if you want to, just as long as you stay within the bounds of a godly society. And so something that's protected and safe. So they don't believe that it's that serious because when they talk to us, because you look at a feminist and the L and the B, and the B are violated by the T. And the LGBT, the lesbians and the gays are actively, their whole idea was, I was born this way. Whereas transgenderism and gender fluidity suggest that it can be adapted. So they're living in a constant state of intellectual suicide, really. So it's not just as hypocrisy. It's that they're trying to enforce it and they don't really believe. And that's going to change tomorrow.
It's a power struggle. It's all it is. It's who's going to be in power. And if your voice is in opposition to what I want, then you're a threat to my power.
Exactly. I wanted to throw up this one from Andrew Klavan because I thought it was, hey, A, I love Andrew Klavan. I think he's funny. But there's this one little clip and I just had to go ahead and grab this one because he's reacting to one of these.
Out of respect for you and your show, I've brought some facts. The pandemic.
YouTube is not doing so well. That's Russell.
Okay, so you guys know the term trad wife. It's gotten really popular in the last few years. The alt-right, super into it. Conservatives love it. But I don't think enough of you know that it started out as a porn term. Erotica writers use the term trad wife to categorize pornography.
All right. I'm not going to make ugly jokes like, you know, lose some weight and take that thing out of your nose and you too could become a trad wife. But again, she's making the same mistake, right? The problem is the pornography is the problem, like not the traditional wifehood. And again, you know what's interesting here? You don't see the trad wives complaining about the leftist women. You don't see them threatened by the leftist women. So why are the leftist women threatened by the traditional wives?
Okay, so thoughts around the room.
That was a pretty funny joke.
That's why I like Andrew Klavan. By the way, for those of you on audio, just picture left-wing feminist who hates herself. And yeah, that image, yeah, that's what she looked like. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying
it's really hard not to be.
She Well, so here's the thing that I think it is. I think these women are jealous. I think they're jealous.
But they can have, if they're jealous, they can have what we have.
Yes.
And you just need to change that mindset.
Yes.
Sometimes it may be that they're trapped in the mindset that, or the way culture and society have played up what a successful woman is. And when you're raised in school that you have to pick a career to have a successful life, mm-hmm. and you have to go to college, and stay-at-home mom, how many times have you heard a stay-at-home mom is a wasted life? That's pretty common to hear that. So to understand that a woman who wants to stay home can feel fulfilled and have a very satisfying life is contrary to everything that they want to push at you.
Thank you.
I saw you waiting. I was like, "What you doing?"
I'm sorry, guys. But no, you're 100% correct. You're 100% correct, and that is the. I think that's part of the crux of the issue, is that we have part of the answer to the problem. But one thing that I see, especially with ladies like Esta, is she claims to be a Christian, right? She's using, you know, Titus 2:4-5. Great verse. But why are we locking on to traditional womanhood instead of biblical womanhood?
John, yes. Is this the same woman who said her mom was brought up in a single, as a single mom?
I think so.
It might be.
I think so.
So when you have a lot, and it sounded like there was a lot of insecurities as a child, and then you watch maybe a show like Leave It to Beaver, and the family looks so wholesome and so together. This may have been played something in her mind that, and she gets the freedom to live it out, okay? That this is what I want for my family, is I want that wholesomeness of a home and a family where I can be home and do this. Cook in the kitchen and, you know, still look attractive and look beautiful. And I can do all these things in the home that I saw my mother struggle and did not have those opportunities. I think that's fine. I think that's great.
But they need to have there needs to be a plan B. Because I knowing that, like, my mom was terminally ill, mm-hmm. she did not think that she was going to be terminally ill whenever she had, you know, started having a family. But if something happened to my dad, we would be screwed if he couldn't work and my mom couldn't work.
You know, and
so there's got to be a plan B. If something happens, what are you going to do?
Well, and you know, that's the thing. When I was a stay-at-home mom and raised five kids, and my husband did some traveling, and that was a fear. I would not have had the opportunity to go out and get a job and take care of all five of us. That's why we got a large life insurance policy on them, so that would help. That's kind of true in the sense of what will we do? Sorry, hon. If something happens to you, because I can't just go out and get the same type of job that you have because I don't have the education and the experience behind me. So that's a real issue. And I do find it to be, you know, if a woman wants to get a college degree, just or get some sort of training, that if she has to be the provider, and we can talk, John Arthur has an experience where his mom had to go out and be the provider
because
of health issues. So those are real things. And those are what you're saying is those are things you should take into consideration.
Well, so I think one of the things that people really mistake, and there's this conflation, just because there was a 1950s ideal of the Christian home where the man went out and he went out and he fought for it. He brought home the bacon and the woman cooked it and she took care of the kids. They conflate that with the racism and the sexism, the misogyny of the 1950s. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say something, guys. Who was fighting misogyny and slavery from the get-go, from the jump of the Republican Party? The Republican Party. And where do they get their morals? Where do they get the ideas? From the conservative church in America. Who were they fighting? Just because you had misogynistic, racist, Jim Crow Democrats treating women poorly, just because you had that does not mean that the push towards a moral society, by the way, one nation under God, that's a 1950s thing. It is not that old. By the way, I, I kind of have a love-hate relationship with the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Ultimately, I like it. I think it's well-intentioned. My allegiance is to Christ alone. And right now, with the way I see the flag going and some of the things that are happening with the flag, I don't really like where it goes. If it goes past a certain point, I can't follow. So I always say under God with like this severe... Yeah, exactly. Melissa, do it again. Yeah, it's like, because if they, in my mind, it's a contract, right? One nation under God, indivisible, you know, with liberty and justice for all. Those are all like, I'm signing a contract when I say that every time. But just because you had sickos in the 1950s does not mean that the push towards godliness during the 1950s was somehow bad. It just means that we didn't get them all. And we got more of them in the 1960s, but then their kids kind of screwed everything up. But that's another story for another time. So I kind of want to start to go around the room here real quick. I want to ask the chair of theology, Miss Nikki, what does the Bible say about complementarianism? And more specifically, I'm going to do that one more time. Sorry. This is what happens when you produce and you host. Anyway, more specifically... What does the Bible have to say about complementarianism and the role of wife and mother?
Well, man and woman were created equally. You know, man was created first, and God created him with a need for a helpmate. And then he created a woman as a complement to the man, a counterpart, a help, an aid. It's just a partnership. You understand what I'm saying? It really is. A partnership, if you truly understand the word of God, it is a beautiful thing. And each one had a role biblically that they played. If you are on a team, everybody on a team has a role to play. If you are in a job, everybody has a role to play. Everybody can't be the quarterback on the football team. Somebody has to be the water boy. That's very important for the quarterback to have a water boy. So we in society... We want to put value on roles. God does not. He sees the importance of each role. And I do not believe that the Bible in any way makes a woman a less human than a man. I know there are preachers out there have preached some things, but I've read the Bible and I know the Lord. And my husband and I was a stay-at-home mom and he worked and we talked about this together. How we wanted, I wanted to do this, he wanted to do this. And he had to travel. Somebody had to be there to keep the home together.
How many hours a week did Mr. Charlie work?
The first 15 years of our life, he worked two jobs. So he was
60 hours a week?
Probably, yeah.
So
there was no way that I could have gotten a job, put the kids in daycare, and it wouldn't have worked.
So... Let me ask you something. Do you think that Mr. Charlie actually submitted himself in a way?
Oh, of course he did. Yeah. Let me tell you something. Every job he worked was not great. I mean, there was one time he was working parking cars for a country club, cutting down trees with a friend, and stocking shelves at a grocery. These are part-time jobs outside of a full-time job. Delivering pizza. I mean, these are all little things that he did. And they weren't all fun. But this is what needed to be done for the family. And I offered many times, do you want me to go to work? Do you want me to go to work? And he'd be like, Nikki, it's easier for me to leave the house knowing that everything is okay here. For me to go out and do what I have to do. It would be harder for me if we both had to go out and nobody was watching over the kids and keeping the house together.
And that is the single best endorsement I think I have ever heard of a spouse to another spouse. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you cannot get in the modern lifestyle that's pushed. It reminds me of Proverbs 31.
Yeah.
Where it says, and he leaves and he trusts in her.
And that's what Charlie did. He said, I can just go to work and know everything is okay here.
Yeah. Yeah. So, moving over to the chair of philosophy. With the trad wife phenomenon, kind of becoming in vogue, and it's been a buzz for the last couple of months. Is this something that Christians should use to identify under? How should we, as Christians, frame the truth to the world? Should we frame it through the lens of Christ, through the lens of tradition, or through the latest fad? And why? Why is it so important?
First question, it's going to be a hard no for me. So I recently had a conversation about this, about traditional woman. And what I found out was traditional woman, in a sense, is semi-bad. Wait before y'all start attacking me.
We're waiting. You're surrounded. Be careful.
I'm surrounded by two. I got to be careful. I tread lightly. It's semi-bad. I believe in the biblical woman.
Amen.
Okay. The reason, man, the problem with the traditional woman, it's too narrow-minded. There's no room for growth. There's no room. It's like a metal bar, right? It's not going to flex. It's just going to bend, right? And eventually it'll break, right? But a biblical woman to me is like a rubber band. It's going to flex. It's going to move. It's going to mold. It's hardly going to break. See, what I find so interesting out of the conversation that I had was that the main argument for females not being a traditional woman is because there's no traditional men. Which, there's lots of flaws in that argument. But if we follow the train of thought, correct, there's not a lot of traditional men. There's not a lot of men that are willing to get up and be like, yes, I'm going to go work 3 to 4 jobs to provide for my family. How many men are going to do that? Honestly.
We live in a world full of self-gratification, mm-hmm. instant gratification, and we live in a world that is so focused on the self. And I want to be careful how I go about saying this, but it's all about me. You want to hear one of the huge reasons why people don't have kids. They'd rather have a dog because it's less maintenance. They'd rather have a cat because it's less maintenance. They'd rather not have to put up with the diapers. By the way, there's a whole wacky thing. I don't know if y'all have heard about this, but there's a whole thing about adult grown women taking their real babies, and I'm saying this in quote for those of you on audio, where they have a lifelike doll. It's a real doll. Is what it's called, and they take it in and they nurse it. They put it in a carriage.
Oh, that's just gross.
They carry it. Melissa,
are you serious?
Melissa knows.
Oh yeah, I've seen that video, and it's absolutely disturbing. Because they're taking it to a doctor, they're buying formula, buying diapers. Things are already like so short in supply, and they're wasting it on a plastic dummy.
Are y'all?
It's disgusting.
It's for real.
And you're gonna tell me that we don't live in a world full of delusion?
Oh, we do live in a world of delusion, yes.
Oh, we do, definitely.
Yes.
And they do this with a plastic baby.
Yeah. Just give me a second. I'll pull it up.
It looks very lifelike. I will give it to them, but like you can see in the eyes. The eyes was just like obviously dead.
They want a bunch of Chuckies running around. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Basically.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Okay. One moment. Let me go ahead and pull this up.
Most people's lives are pretty stressful most of the time.
One second, guys. One second.
You know, your jobs and whatever.
All right. We're going to go ahead and we're going to pull this up. Just give me a moment. Nix this one. Start this one. Okay. So sorry. Pardon the YouTube link there for those of you who can see it. But
at the end of the day, especially after I've had like a really stressful day, there's something about holding a newborn baby and rocking them. And if you can take even just a couple of moments to enjoy a baby, then it's wonderful.
Okay, so that's a whole new rabbit hole.
It looks dead.
How is that enjoying a baby? That thing's just like
But it really goes down to
just being there, like.
It really comes down to the issue of self-gratification. And that's where I kind of want to hook it in, because we're talking about the trad wife issue. And the thing that feminists, I think, find the most revolting is the idea of quote-unquote submission. And by the way, perhaps rightfully so, because that word has been twisted. Mm-hmm. That word has gotten twisted. So, Miss Nikki, what's a biblical definition for submission in regards to a woman towards her husband?
It's coming under an agreement with your husband, who is supposed to be coming under agreement with what the Lord wants for your life. So if your husband, and remember, a lot of times what you don't take into consideration is there are physical differences between a man and a woman, and we may live in a very modern age, but there was an age when a man had to go out and work so physically hard, and his body was designed and created to work that physical hard labor out in the field or going to war. And it's not war with the guns and machines we have today. It was hand-to-hand combat. So if you go back and you study the history about what men had to do, so they were the protectors of their home because they faced different things than we do. Now, God still considers them a protector. They're a covering of the home because the woman who may be the one taking care of the children, and you'll find this in nature. If you'll see two ducks, one is very colorful and the female is very bland. The female will blend into the environment. And the colorful duck, if an enemy comes, the colorful duck will go around and get the enemy's attention to get it away from the woman and the children. That's what the role is biblically. That's what the protection is. It's not just physical, but it's also spiritual protection. So when your husband is coming in under agreement with the Lord in obedience, you come in him, not to him, but joining him to be obedient unto the Lord.
And that's something that I think is missed on the culture. And that's something that they don't realize, that in the Christian rubric, there is a man, but there's a God above that man. And that man is very much responsible to that God. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Let me just make this very clear. When the Bible says about a woman submitting to a husband, what a lot of times is left out is the man honoring his wife and loving his wife and what goes into that. Mm-hmm. Any man who is treating his wife under biblical principles, she will not have a problem.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
And one moment here. I'm prepping this real quick because I think that this is, A, it's humorous, but B, it does kind of sort of seal the loop here. Let's go ahead and pull this up. So those of you who have seen the meme, those who haven't, this is Anthony Mackie. And the issue is brought up, what should I make daddy a ham sandwich? And this goes to what you were just saying.
I have something in common. You believe in a lot of cases that men and women have roles.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, you say it because people get mad when I say it.
You better believe it. I'm from this. You better believe it.
I mean, I know you're from New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, I'm only from Jersey, but I do believe that if he wants a sandwich.
You make daddy a sandwich.
Most of the time.
Wait for it.
No.
Wait for it.
Let me ask you this. Well, okay. Let me ask you this. If me and you out, and somebody say something slick to you,
you punch him in the face.
You want me to smack him in his mouth, right?
That's right.
So if I take you on a date and I say, look, baby, we gonna go Dutch.
No.
Exactly. If we walking up to the car and I don't open your car door, what do you say?
Open the door.
You better believe it.
Yeah, no, I am with you. I think
so. You make daddy a sandwich.
I think.
So you can't have it both ways, ladies. You can't have it both ways. Right?
Do you want me to tell you something that I know this is going to anger a lot of women, but I don't care?
Just do it.
My husband, I just told you, my husband worked two jobs the first 15 years of our marriage. When he got up in the morning, and a lot of times, I mean, there were times the kids didn't see him only on the weekends because of his late hours. When that man got up in the morning, his breakfast was on the table. His coffee was made and ready to go. Not because he ever asked me to do it, but because I thought, like, hey, I'm home and I don't have, if I want to sleep in or take a nap, I can take a nap. If my kids are sick, I don't have to worry about finding someone to take care of them because he's out and he's doing the hard stuff as far as, I mean, working at home is hard too. Don't get the wrong idea. So when he gets up in the morning, he's going to have a good meal to start the day out. And when he comes home, he's going to have a good meal to finish the day out because he's working all day for me and making my life easy.
it's not an issue of sexism.
No, it was an attitude of, I really appreciate what you're doing for me, so I'm going to do this for you.
Nikki, shame on you,
you know,
for doing that. You are just...
That man still gets his... I still you are, make his coffee.
You are dotting the I of feminism.
He does not ask me to get his coffee, but when he gets up in the morning, it is next to his bed. Just
Where's
because I love doing hat? That for him.
Aww. You know,
someone bought me coffee.
I know, right?
It's not an issue of
good
sexism.
Good job, Nikki.
Look, no. I get home early from work. Sometimes I leave for work at 5:30 a.m., right? It's fine. I get home some days around 1, 2, 4, right? Guess what's on the dinner table for everyone else in the family? Because I still live with my folks because we're pooling resources. My family lost everything in a fire. I'm still with them until they rebuild. At least that's the plan. So guess what happens? If I'm home before they are, I'm making dinner. It's not because I'm someone's... You know, is her curse word.
That is teamwork. That's just teamwork. That's
Fimo
what
dog.
That is.
Man, yeah. I cook all the time.
Yes, you do.
I cook breakfast all for my parents a couple days ago.
It's
steak and eggs.
It's a matter of being on a team.
Mm-hmm.
And a team leader, you have to have a team leader. A body with no heads is dead. A body with two is a freak. Right? So you have to have a head, and you have to have the support. And I don't have the clip here. I'm not going to bother to go find it. But this one lady made this really interesting point. She was on a Pearl Davis podcast, which, by the way, I would like to get to Pearl Davis before we finish here. She says there's in a relationship, there's always the dom, and then there is the subservient. Or I forget what she called it. There's a dom, and there's a submissive. She goes, which one has the more power?
Submissive.
Lean into the mic and why the submissive.
I'm going to bring up a quote from My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where the man is the head and the woman is the neck, and we can turn that head any way we want to.
Well, you know,
it's true.
It's
true.
Yeah. Go to Sarah and Abraham. I mean, she made a suggestion. He didn't go to the Lord and made a man. Bad mistakes. She made another suggestion. He went to the Lord, and the Lord said, "Follow her suggestion." I mean, it's just one of those things.
Yep. You wonder why us guys don't want to go manipulate a woman.
Well, no, but that's actually really true, though. Women have an incredible amount of power when they're feminine. Mm-hmm. I mean, in Greek myth, the whole battle of the whole Trojan War was fought because a woman. You know, she had these two men who were fighting over her, and she kind of, you know, was like, maybe, right? So the whole war was, women have an incredible amount of power in their femininity.
Lots of wars were fought over women. Lots of wars.
And so I think we really do women a disservice to say that they should be men. And we do men a huge disservice by saying they should be more feminine.
I think the real word that needs to be used is value. I think when you think of submissiveness or that you're coming under the, you know, a man takes on the headship, you're thinking of less value. And that's really not what it means. And I'm words matter, but the meanings of words and when the words were created and the Bible was written, what was going on at the time? You look at the ministries after Christ's crucifixion, a lot of it was done by women.
And in fact, you have Priscilla and Aquila, who the woman, even though they were a team, even though she was submitted to her husband, she didn't go anywhere without her husband. Her husband was always the covering. She was the one that was the dynamo.
When Paul addressed them, he addressed both of them.
Always.
Yes,
but her
always.
First.
Well, Paul encountered numerous times women that were the ones that were, you know, in bunches and doing what they needed to do as far as showing up to the church or to the synagogue, and the men weren't.
So I want to ask you, Melissa, since you're in the chair of culture, how has the culture reacted to the trad wife phenomenon, and I want you to kind of dissect that and kind of splay it out, because it's really interesting how they think that it's somehow an affront to feminism. And how should we as Christians be framing the debate around complementarianism?
So I think it goes against their narrative. And so in being a, I hate the term trad wife, the traditional wife. And I think we said in like a few podcasts ago, I'm like, I love working. I take value in my work and I will continue working. But that doesn't mean that I cannot hold traditional wife values.
Correct.
And there's, I don't have to go full traditional wife. I don't have to go no traditional wife. I can pick and choose. This is how I want to do my life as a wife, how it fits with the partnership with my husband. So it all kind of, and it's, I think it's also a matter of respect and honor to your husband. And I'm going to be real for a second. And so I think one of the videos, they made a comment about the way that she looks, that she's put together versus a person that's more liberal, that looks less than put together. But I'm sorry, ladies. That's, if you look like hair, a hoe, your man is going to treat you like a hoe.
You can't say that.
You're right.
But it's true. I'm like, but how you present yourself is how your husband is going to reciprocate. So you honor him and you respect the values of a traditional marriage and a traditional life. You're going to get...
She said, if a woman's to the streets, she belongs to the streets. That's what she said.
Man.
The more you know.
Yeah. I think to add to Melissa's point here, when you look in the mirror, you need to have some self-respect.
Right.
If you want other people to respect you, live the way you respect yourself. Have confidence in yourself. Like yourself. I don't say be arrogant, but just be confident.
And hey, I'm just going to say this. I work from home a lot of days, right? I have a job that's very flexible. There's a lot of days where I'm able to work from home and I'm able to sign into the server. Guys, I'm not in my underwear and Cheetos crusted t-shirt. I don't have that Cheetos crusted t-shirt.
No.
But I sit there with a suit jacket on.
A suit jacket in your underwear, right?
Yeah. No. Uh-huh. But I actually dress up to be at work. When I'm at work, I'm in that mindset. If you have a lady who wants to look nice around the house, God forbid that she actually put herself together and have some self-worth, because, of course, your self-worth is in your pronouns and your sexual deviancy nowadays. I mean, has nothing to do with the innate value of God that he put on you. I mean, well,
right. I got to have like 20, you know, face piercings and,
oh Lord,
you know,
well,
three different colors in my hair.
And that's the thing that I want to kind of split us apart from the culture. And I want to kind of take the narrative, because sometimes I think we kind of pick up on the other side's language and we start to play by their linguistic rules, which, again, I've said it before. It's like entering into a duel where they say pistols or sabers. You say pistols and they say, great. And they hand you a saber and you say, oh, okay. Using their language is that stupid. It's on that level. Traditional womanhood, we should be focused on, Clint said it, biblical womanhood. Because biblical womanhood's been around a lot longer than the West tradition. And by the way, there are some traditions in the West that were kind of messed up, you know? And again, we covered it. The biblical womanhood was always something that Christians promoted, but there was also a deviant version of that where the woman is somehow a doormat under the man's foot.
Yeah, that's not biblical at all.
No.
And so I hate the conflation of terms. I hate the conflation of terms, because we're not talking about trad-wise. We're talking about biblical womanhood, biblical masculinity, biblical manhood. That's what we want to focus on, is how God actually laid out rules for us. I think that's something that gets lost. And by the way, I think there's a lot to be gained in the political realm by this. So, Mr. Steve, I want to get your take on this in just a second. But in the political realm, just a little bit of question here. Has this issue become politicized and polarized around the issue of affirmative action? What has affirmative action done to women? And how should Christians diffuse the political nature of the complementary gender role narrative, the biblical understanding of that?
I'd say affirmative action, I would say, has probably overall hurt women overall, but depending on what color of the skin you have.
By varying degrees.
Because, you know, if you're a black female, or, you know, affirmative action helps you out. If you're a white female, it doesn't help you out at all. Period. I mean, not as much. Not much at all. But it helps you a whole lot more if your color is right. But affirmative action can help you out some. But I don't think it's been, personally, I don't think it's been real good, because it forces people and businesses to do things that naturally and normally wouldn't happen in the workforce. You end up hiring people in jobs that are not fit for certain jobs because you got to have X number of people that are females, like for chemists or engineers, you know.
In affirmative action, it always hurts the people it attempts to help. And when you have this sort of affirmative action for women, where we have to have more CEOs, more such and such, we tell girls that they need to have a career, and then you can have your kids in a later stage. And we just did a podcast on that.
Right. And that has a tendency to not turn out very well, because, you know, they start drilling that into girls' heads in, what, like first grade?
Yeah.
And
it's not an issue of you can go and do this. It's you must. Like, if you don't do it, you're taking an L for the team. You're somehow diminishing the momentum of the feminist movement at large.
What happens if your husband divorces you?
Yeah.
But the thing is that 70-80% are women that do the divorcing, and if they're college educated,
it's
closer to 90%.
It's higher
divorcing.
It boils down to almost always irreconcilable differences or financial.
Correct.
By the way, boys, if you're going to marry a woman, make sure A, that she's a godly woman. Okay.
Correct.
That's the foundation. That's the bedrock. But B, make sure that you're providing more value than she is at the table, because women want a provider. That's not saying that it's virtuous for a gal to drop a guy because he doesn't provide as much as she does, but you need to be a provider. And again, yeah. I've used this example when talking with Mr. Producer here, Mr. Assistant Producer. I know a guy who, his wife's a pediatrician. He's an electrician. He said, I could bring in an extra $300 into the budget every month if we send our kids to a Christian school. We decided that I would homeschool the kids and build a farmstead. That's a guy who's providing value as a stay at farm, if you will, dad. He's providing an immense amount of value. He works 70 hours a week on the farm, and then he does all the kids' homework and grades while she's out taking care of her business that supports them. So, gentlemen, make sure that you're providing value for your wife.
Right, and providing is not financial. It could be financial, but that's not the only thing that it can be.
Correct.
So don't limit yourself.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Farming, man, that's tough work, whether mm-hmm. it's just animal husbandry or whether you're farming the land, man, it doesn't matter. It's mm-hmm. that's Goodness tough work, me. Man.
And so these two are two of my favorite people. I won't use their names, but so I hope we can get them on the podcast. I actually had them on radio show before, one of them. But they are a good example of an equally yoked couple. Even though she makes more money than him, he is still the provider in the sense of he's providing value that she feels she can't get. You know, that's invaluable to be able to someday retire and live off grid to that family. That is something that is important. So in a way, they're going the trad wife way eventually, if you want to call it that, because they're both working together to build something that's going to last for their family and can be passed down.
You know,
there's many flavors. There's many ways to do that. Don't think that we're saying that there's only one way to do it. And it's this cookie cutter. What's her name from the 1950s?
June Cleaver.
It has to be June Cleaver, dressed up in the Marilyn Monroe head up with a camisole. Okay, that's not what we're saying. We're saying that God has made each person individually unique, and if a woman wants to stay at home, you should be able to. By the way, if a woman wants to work, what does Proverbs 31 say about the Proverbs 31 woman?
Well, she put her house together, got her family together, and went out and did some business, and her home was in its proper place, and she just was a altogether woman. She was a businesswoman, right. Was a homekeeper, housewife type. But she had a lot going on.
Yeah.
Does that sound like a doormat that's abused by her husband?
Oh, no. No.
Not at all.
Okay. So now that we've cleared that, for those of you writing that angry comment, I just want to put on the tinfoil hat for just a moment, and I kind of want to drill down for a moment in the chair of economics. Pretend I'm over there in the chair of economics, but
tinfoil hat.
Let's put on the tin. Oh my gosh, he actually is pulling. Oh my goodness, he's putting it on the chair. Okay, so the chair of economics. Let's talk about it here, real quick.
Better put the camera.
What incentives did the government have? What incentives did the government have to get two people into the workforce? That there you go. There's the for those of you on audio, we are on YouTube. Thank you for your faithful listenership on audio, but that was a joke for YouTube and Rumble, of course. Rumble. Anyway, what incentive does the government have to encourage double income families? Could these incentives possibly play a role in public discourse? What does the government gain by having double income families?
More taxes.
And who is primarily behind policy? Big money. Yep. Big money. Big tech is owned by big money. You don't believe me? BlackRock, Vanguard, JP Morgan, those people all have the same families, the large families, the names that if I say them, YouTube will get their knickers in a knot and say that I'm anti-Semitic. It's not that I'm anti-Semitic. It's just that these people, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, what's his name? The Jew that everyone says.
Soros.
Okay. It's not because he's a Jew. It's because he's a bag of steaming, wonderful humanity. Okay.
It's because he's a Jew.
But these people all are pushing BlackRock and Vanguard. By the way, they have that, what is it called? The ESG score system, I believe is what they call it. It's where you have a social rating system. And all of these companies are pushing the woke narrative because one of their largest stockholders, or all three of their largest stockholders, JP Morgan, Vanguard, BlackRock. These people all own those shares, and they all run off the same social credit score, if you will, for companies. And they say, look, hey, sorry, Disney. That's a mighty nice business you have there. Great business model. It'd be a shame if someone shorted you on the stock market and you had to fire tens of thousands of employees. It'd be a real shame. Now, if you guys are worth investing in because you have a high social credit score as per this system, maybe we'll let you keep the stock in our portfolio. We won't sell it off on you. Does that make sense to everyone in the room?
Oh, God, yeah.
So I'm getting a no from Clint. That makes
sense.
But I think that that's something, and again, That's some tinfoil hat stuff. New World Order, yes. Alex Jones stuff. By the way, Alex Jones is right most of the time. I'm just saying.
You know they give him such a hard time, man.
The article that came out about J.P. Morgan, was it the CEO, about how the government needs to eminent domain for climate change? I said, yeah, why don't you go ahead and try that?
Good luck.
Because you might be leaning left, but your house comes and your property comes under them taking it. You might not be so keen on that.
Windmill or, you know, some solar farm. Somebody wants to take your house or your 800 acres.
Let me tell you something. I do know somebody in another state that the electric company wants to put a device on the house. And when electricity is being used too much, then they will control what is allowed into your house. They will control the temperature of your house. It's a smart thermometer they want to put on her house. And she said, no, I don't want to do that. And they said, well, if you don't put it on there, we're going to have to charge you an extra $40 a month fee for that. In that same state, in the city next to her, it is illegal for you to have to catch rainwater because that belongs to the town.
Yeah.
What? Yep. What? How are you going to own rainwater? Yeah. Like,
so it's what? Land. It's land and mineral rights and water rights, and that's right. Something that, if you look at the BLM, actually, I know of a case. I can't say how I know of this case because it's actually still under litigation. Where BLM, Bureau of Land Management, not to be confused with Black Lives Matter, but the Bureau of Land Management, you know, the people who stood off with those ranchers and they were going to shoot them, and the ranchers are like, no, don't kill our cows. You guys remember that?
Yep. Yeah, sure okay. do.
That was like, what, 2014, 2015?
Yeah.
Anyway, Bureau of Land Management, recently there was a case where they were going after the couple using the IRS because they wanted the water rights. And so the government is not your friend, okay?
Nope.
I am very, very patriotic. I love the nation that God has given us, but there's a swamp that needs to be drained. And unfortunately, it has made its way into them monkeying with the social system, with the social fabric of the United mm-hmm. States. Jeez, and part of that swamp. Comes into the promotion of the modern progressive movement, where women are sexually free, in quotes, they're actually in bondage to sin, and the men are even more in bondage to sin than they ever have been. I'm not excluding the men on here. You know, you guys better, you know, quit the porn, quit with the high body counts, find a woman, settle down, have kids, raise them in God's light, right? But the government wants that because, A, there's no social fabric. It's easier to put the kids into the government's custody, okay? And then, of course, you have double-income families, and they have a higher tax base. You want to know why work is so hard to find? Two things. And again, this is very uncomfortable to say. Unregulated immigration for the sake of building a workforce. And you don't believe me? Just look at Nancy Pelosi.
They need those Mexicans down there because who's going to pick the peaches in Florida?
When they moved them all up to Martha's Vineyard. You guys remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not racist.
Yeah,
that wasn't
exactly.
racist at all, was it?
That's, like,
that's not racist.
You just said the quiet part out loud, lady. You are a filthy racist who sees this as putting money in the pockets of your big business donors. By the way, big business was never conservative. It was always big business.
Right.
For whatever they wanted to get, they would get through lobbying. And if a Republican or a Democrat wants to bend to it, guess what? They'll do it. Okay. And you don't believe me?
It's all about money.
Exactly.
It's all about money.
You don't believe me? Look at Mitch McConnell. And you say, has a big business. He's married to a former minister of something or other from China.
Right.
And I'm sorry, you're not part of the Chi-Com party and then end up being married to a United States senator who's the leader of the House or the Senate. You don't marry people like that. You don't, Eric Swalwell. You don't bang, bang, mm-hmm. fang, fang and not have some sort of connection.
Racially motivated.
You don't have some sort of connection to the CCP. Okay. And why? It's hugely about economics, but it's also about politics, but it's hugely about economics. They want to have less sanctions on our spending. And of course, they've always been eyeing the petrodollar. Of course, what just fell? What did we just lose? And we're about to lose the United States dollar as the premier trading status. People, elections do have consequences, and you're always one election away from tyranny.
I don't think people understand what that really means for you. When the dollar falls, I don't think you understand what that
means. Go back to pesos? Nah, I don't want to do that. That's terrible.
When the dollar becomes useless, when India, Russia, and China form and Saudi form an alliance, guys, that is, those are four of the largest powerhouses in the economic sector. You will be poor. And those politicians that voted for that, guess what? They have a golden parachute. You think they care about you? Anyway, that's a whole other story. That's a whole other story.
Why do you think they wash their money in Ukraine?
Is there something in the Bible about the love of money is the root of
all evil? Yeah.
Is there something about that? I thought maybe.
Yeah, maybe something like that.
Just something to put in the back of the mind. So, look, feminists, it's not about clipping your wings. It's just not. It's about biblical values, and ultimately what makes God happy makes you happy. Miss Nikki, final thoughts for the evening.
Well, I just think that if you are one of these trad wives or traditional wives or whatever, it's just really between you and your husband. What you do in your home, two of you need to come to an agreement and do it. It's nobody else's business.
100%. Clint.
I had something, but then I'll... Okay, no. honestly, it seems very showish to put it on TikTok.
Yeah.
One to his own, right? But just make sure when you do this, you're not going for a traditional wife. You're going for a biblical wife.
Amen.
You're going for something that's able to grow, something that's able to flex, something that's able to move, not to your own glory, but to the glory of God.
Amen. Melissa.
And it's not about clipping your wings, it's about growing your wings. And if you live a biblical life in a biblical marriage, well, you're gonna
oh my gosh.
Little birdie over there. But yeah, if you live that life accordingly, then honestly the sky's the limit for what you and your husband can accomplish.
That's right.
Absolutely. Mr. Steve.
I think those that want to follow, say, like a traditional type wife, they need to look into reading the Bible, get out the idea of being a biblically traditional wife.
Womanhood.
Yes. And because being traditional and going and doing that without the capping it off without Christ's love and his, without him being involved in your life and in your marriage and the raising of your children, it's just hollow. Trust me, I know. And, once Christ is involved in your marriage and in your life, you have more of a fulfilling life and of more of a fulfilling marriage. And your children will see that in you also.
Amen. Final thoughts from the chair of economics / the producer's chair. Guys, you are of immense value. Your worth, however, should be found in Christ. It's not in your sexuality. It's not in, by the way, it's not in your husband and your kids. It's not in your wife. It's not in your parents. Your worth should be found in the treasure trove of the value of the image of God that he bestowed upon you. That is something that cannot be taken away. That is something that is immutable. It's unchangeable. It's something that is part of your soul. If you find that value in anything else, one day it will crumble. Find that value in Christ and in a biblical life. If you find your value there, you will find joy. You will not always be happy, but you will find joy and peace. If you like this podcast, like, comment, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. By the way, about 70-something subscribers on Rumble.
Oh, wow.
Hey, yo. We're building. And all then right. YouTube. Thank
Still
you.
Messing with
it's more like thank you. You guys, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. It seems like we grow, and then all of a sudden we see 200, 400 views deleted at a time, 1,000 in another batch, and 1,000 in another batch.
Right.
And
you keep making
we watch
jokes.
The numbers do this, and then they get down to 17.
And subscribers will go up, and then all of a sudden they'll
go down.
Down.
And we'll lose subscribers.
Yes.
Because they're actually actively deleting. I might be you, Elijah. Elijah Deaker. Leave a comment in the section down below if you're still there.
Call him out.
No. Comment section's wild. I love to hear from Elijah Deaker, the lesbian. You are a lot of fun, sir, ma'am.
Oh,
whatever you identify
they,
as.
Them.
They, them. It's a lot of fun hearing from you. I
Contact
miss
us on Twitter,
your
too.
Last one.
I'll be happy to reply to you.
Contact us on Twitter. Yes, the resident twit is on board all the time.
I don't know. Every time you say it, I feel like you're offending me in some way. But
well, I'm also on there, too. I'm also on there, too. If it's spelled correctly, it's me. I mean, you know, if there's errors. You know.
If it's a picture, it's me.
Yeah.
All right. Exactly. So, and then, of course, thank you for over 180,000 downloads on the audio. Guys, we are on Rumble. We are on YouTube. Feel free to tune in there as well. As always, we love you so much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. One last thing there, Goofy.
Share and if subscribe.
You are still there. If you're still there, I want you to tell us
Wake up.
Your favorite freak out moment from feminists. Your favorite freak feminist out. Freak out moment.
Don't ask me first.
You got to think. Okay. What's your famous freak out moment that really stuck in your head from feminists? Putting you guys on the spot.
I don't think I have one, but I
or
have
leftist.
One from... Just go left. I have
in general.
One of a vegetarians. They had cinder block their feet, like mob style, in front of a Starbucks because they increased the price on soy milk. So they had cemented their feet to block their way, and they all of them got arrested. But it took them like because when they were getting arrested, they were like, "Well, we can't move."
Oh my god!
So they've been there. They had to get the fire department. They had to get like what thought process to put your foot in cement and let it dry.
Melissa, if you don't have one, that's fine.
I'm still stuck on cinder block.
Oh my gosh!
I was thinking they're mob style, bro. Throw them over the river, just one at a time.
Oh my goodness!
Problem solved.
Steve.
Yeah, problem solved.
You got one?
I'm putting
you on the spot here.
I don't really have any situation that's occurred as far as feminist stuff that I can think of. I'm sure I've probably had through all of these years a moment, but old age has kind of messed with me over the years. So I'm.
Yeah, I got you.
Wait,
so
old.
I don't know.
I'm thinking of the one, and I guess I could have pulled it up, but I'm thinking of the one when Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. It's not that Ruth Bader Ginsburg died or was in the hospital. I forget what it was. But this girl screams into the camera, "Ruth, you had, you know, 4 more months to go. Why did you die?" And she starts screaming hysterically.
Oh,
she's
that.
Pounding the steering wheel, and she's just freaking out because she can't... kill her child in utero anymore, or at least that's what she thought. Now, of course, I'm sure she lives in a leftist stronghold where she can still abort at free will. But my favorite part, because it's like, you know, if you actually read the law, you might understand that you probably don't need to have a mini stroke in your car. You're probably going to be okay.
You know, I've watched so many of those Karen.
Oh yeah,
short,
yeah.
Or things. It's just unreal that I'd just go. Now those women need some help.
Miss Nikki's got
one in real life.
Serious. All right, Daniel, just shout it out. What's your favorite? Shout it out.
All right. I'm gonna come over here. All right. So one of my favorite ones.
You look
ever.
Like a monkey.
there's
That side view makes you look like a monkey.
Just get your face down.
Just get in here.
All right. So my favorite one ever is an F-150. You know, like on in L.A., like those roads, like the Rainbow Roads, you know, they're trying to copy Mario Kart, but it's
oh,
gay.
Oh, yeah. Give me
yeah, that just
bag,
is
Jeez.
Drifting constantly throughout that road. And then you see a bunch of these feminists slash gay people slash whatever,
you know,
the heck they are.
They thems.
Yeah, the things. I mean, people. Anyway, that just try to get in front of him, and then he doesn't stop, and they either get hit or they move.
Oh my gosh, that one was violent.
Yeah, well, it started nice, but you know, it's there. Still my favorite.
Tell us your favorite feminist moment, and it can be one of the ones that we referenced today, where they're freaking out about women who are just packing lunch boxes for their kids. Let us know in the comment section down below what you've got. With that said, we love you. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
I'm gonna want to pack my own.